Chapter 12, The Present Ministry of Christ. The present ministry of Christ has been neglected by most Christians. So many, when they think of his giving his life for us, think only of his death and resurrection. They do not know that when he sat down on the Father's right hand, that he began to live for us in as much reality as he had died for us. He is no longer the lowly man of Galilee. He is not the Son made sin for us, forsaken of God. He is the Lord of all. He has conquered Satan, sin, and disease. He has conquered death. He possesses all authority in heaven and in earth, Matthew 28:18. We can act fearlessly upon his word because he stands back of it. He is the surety of it. He is the surety of the new covenant, Hebrews 7:22. Jesus, our high priest, the high priest of the old covenant, was a type of Christ, the high priest of the new covenant. Once every year, the high priest under the old covenant had entered into the tabernacle on earth with the blood of bulls and goats to make a yearly atonement for the sins of Israel. Read Hebrews 9:25 and 10:1-4. The priests stood daily ministering and offering the same sacrifices for the sins of Israel, Hebrews 10:11. Christ entered into heaven itself with his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for us. When God accepted the blood of Jesus Christ, he signified that the claims of justice had been met and that man could be legally taken from Satan's authority and restored to fellowship with himself. By the sacrifice of himself, Christ had put sin away. By the sacrifice of himself, he had sanctified man. To sanctify means to set apart, to separate. He had separated man from Satan's kingdom and family. When Christ met Mary after his resurrection, John 20:17, he said to her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto the Father." He was then on his way to the Father with his own blood, the token of the penalty he had paid, and he could not be touched by human hands. Jesus' ministry as high priest did not end with his carrying his blood into the holy place, but he is still the minister of the sanctuary, Hebrews 8:2. The word sanctuary in the Greek means holy things. He is ministering in the holy things. These holy things are our prayers and worship. We do not always know how to worship him as we ought, but he takes our oft-times crude petitions and worship and makes them beautiful to the Father. Every prayer, every worship is accepted by the Father when it is presented in the name of Jesus. He is a merciful and faithful high priest. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, Hebrews 4:14-16. He is high priest forever, Hebrews 6:19. Jesus, the mediator. When Christ sat down at the Father's right hand, he had satisfied the claims of justice, and he became the mediator between God and man. Jesus is man's mediator for two reasons, because of what he is, because of what he has done. First, Jesus is man's mediator by virtue of what he is. He is the union of God and man. He is the one who existed on an equality with God, made in the likeness of men, Philippians 2:8-9. He has bridged the gulf between God and man. He is equal with God, and he is equal with man. He can represent humanity before God. This, however, was not sufficient ground for mediation between God and man. Man was an eternal criminal before God. Man was alienated from God and under the judgment of Satan. This brings us to our second fact. Jesus is man's mediator because of what he has done. Colossians 1:22, "Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable through him." 2 Corinthians 5:18, "Who reconciled us unto himself through Christ." There could have been no mediator between God and man if there had not been first a reconciliation made between God and man. Man was unrighteous in his condition of spiritual death. While he was in that condition, he could not approach God. Neither could any mediator have approached God for him. Christ has reconciled us unto God through his death on the cross, so that he now presents man holy and without blemish before God. Therefore, man has a right to approach God through Christ, his mediator. From the fall of man until Jesus sat down at God's right hand, no man had ever approached God except over a bleeding sacrifice, through a divinely appointed priesthood, or by an angelic visitation or dream. On the ground of his high priestly ministry of his own blood, he perfected our redemption. He satisfied the claims of justice and made it possible for God to legally give man eternal life, making him righteous and giving him a standing as a son. He is the mediator of the new covenant, Hebrews 9:15. Jesus is seated. He is the high priestly mediator that is to introduce lost men to God. Man has no approach now but through the new mediator. By one sacrifice, he has put sin away. By one act, he carried his blood into the Holy of Holies. By that one act, Hebrews 10:19 declares that all can now enter boldly through the veil into the very presence of the Father and stand there without condemnation. I would that we were able to make the church understand this blessed truth. There is so much sin consciousness and so little consciousness of the finished work of Christ taught. We hear him cry, Hebrews 4:14 through 16, come boldly to the throne of grace and find a blessing to meet every need. Seems to me as though the Master were saying, stop your crying, stop your groaning, come with joy to the throne of love gifts. Let me fill your basket with blessings. Hebrews 10:12 through 13 tells us that one sacrifice of his own blood, now in the presence of the Father, on the mercy seat, has made all this available to those who take Christ as Savior and Lord. His work is finished in the Father's mind. Our redemption is complete. Jesus, the intercessor. Jesus, as the high priest, carried his blood into the Holy of Holies, satisfying the claims of justice that were against natural man. As mediator, he introduces the unsaved man to God. John 14:6, Jesus is the way to God, and no one can approach God except through him. As soon as man accepts Christ, he becomes a child of God. Then Christ begins his intercessory work for him. Jesus is a mediator for the sinner, but he is intercessor for the Christian. The first question that comes to us is, why does the child of God need someone to intercede for him? We can find the answer to that in Romans 12:2. At the new birth, our spirits receive the life of God. The next need is that our minds be renewed. Before we came into the family, we walked as natural men. Satan ruled men. Satan ruled our minds. Now that our spirits have received the life of God, our minds must be renewed so that we will know our privileges and responsibilities as children of God. The new birth is instantaneous, but the renewing of the mind is a gradual process. Its growth is determined by our study and meditation on the Word. During this period, we need the intercession of Christ. Many times we strain our fellowship with the Father as in our ignorance of His will. We, many times, say and do things that are not pleasing to Him. Then again, we need His intercession because of demoniacal persecution against us. Demons persecute us for righteousness' sake. They hate and fear us because God has declared us righteous. Because we have not fully learned of our authority, they cause us to stumble many times. Regardless of this, He is able to save us to the uttermost because He ever lives to pray for us. Hebrews 7:25. No one can lay anything to the charge of God's child. God has declared him righteous. There is no one to condemn him. Jesus is living to make intercession for him. Romans 8:33 and 34. Jesus, the advocate. We came to the Father through Christ, our mediator. We have felt the sweet influence of his intercession on our behalf. Now we want to know him as our advocate before the Father. Many Christians today who are living in broken fellowship would be living victorious lives in Christ if they knew that Jesus was their advocate. Because of our unrenewed minds and satanic persecution, we sometimes sin and cause our fellowship with the Father to be broken. Every child of God who breaks fellowship with the Father is under condemnation. If he had no advocate to plead his case before the Father, he would be in a sad position. The Word shows us that if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Consider the meaning of the word advocate in the Webster's Dictionary. We read, one who pleads the cause of another in a court of law, one who defends, vindicates, or espouses a cause by argument, an upholder, a defender, one summoned to aid. Christ is our defender, our upholder. He is always there at the right hand of God, ready to come to our aid, to intercede on our behalf. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye may not sin. And if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. In John 1:3 through 9 is God's method for maintaining our fellowship with him. If we sin so that our fellowship is broken, we may renew that fellowship by confessing our sin. He is unable to act as our advocate unless we confess our sins. The moment we confess them, he takes up our case before the Father. The Word declares that when we confess our sins, he is righteous and faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to wipe them out as though they had never been. It is absolutely essential that Christians know Jesus as their advocate. Many who are out of fellowship have confessed their sins many times without receiving a sense of restoration because they did not know that Jesus was their advocate. They did not take forgiveness when they confessed their sins. They did not act upon the word which declared that the Father forgives the moment they confess. No Christian should ever remain in broken fellowship any longer than it takes to ask forgiveness. What the Father forgives, he forgets. A child of his should never dishonor his word by ever thinking of his sins again. Jesus the surety. Jesus is our personal surety. This is the most vital of all the ministries of Jesus at the Father's right hand. Under the old covenant, the high priest was the surety. If he failed, it interrupted the relationship between God and Israel. The blood of the atonement lost its efficacy. Under the new covenant, Jesus is the high priest and the surety of the new covenant. Our position before the Father is absolutely secure. We know that throughout our lifetime, we have at the right hand of God a man who is there for us. He is representing us before the Father. He always has a standing with the Father. Always, regardless of our standing, we have one representing us before the Father. Our position is secure.